America and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Sologi and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Patrick Mifflin will probably be with us momentarily. We don't know. He kind of had a long day, so he might be getting with us, or he might be
out cold.
Down for the count.
Out cold, down for the count, TKO. But, yeah, so this episode is going to be for September 4th, 2020, first show of the month. We are now officially about a little under 2 months away from the election.
It's starting to heat up a bit.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
I think today is 60 days until.
Yep, 60 days. It's going to be on November 3rd, so.
Yeah. It should be decided by December 3rd. There's my prediction.
Yeah. Actually, just since to go ahead and talk about it now, I'm going to make a suggestion here for anybody who is going to be voting on November 3rd. If you're not, like, doing mail-in. When you go to your polling place and you cast your vote and you get back into your car or the bus or you're walking back home, when you get back to your house, just completely shut off all social media for the rest of the day. Just all of it. Anything that will give you election coverage for the rest of the day. Do not completely ignore that shit until the following morning. Because
that's not a bad idea.
Because there are going to be an unprecedented amount of mail-in voters this year, meaning that we're probably not going to have the final count for quite a few days. And honestly, you don't deserve that kind of stress. For that day, because the media and local news and the campaigns and everybody is going to be going fucking crazy that day. Which I mean, the local news goes crazy every presidential election. But like I said, we're really not going to get much of a count this on November 3rd. So by the and more than likely because there's going to be a very large group of individuals that will be voting in person, it's probably going to kind of look like a Trump blowout for the first day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't pay any attention to it for the rest of November 3rd.
Don't despair.
Just, you know, you've done your civic duty. You don't have to follow it the rest of the day. But anyway.
Yeah, don't subject yourself like you might have done last time around.
Yeah.
Oh, God, right?
Ugh. Yeah.
That was a bad night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that SNL skit about it was perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So for this week's show, got a bunch of shit that went down. We got more news out of Kenosha.
We could just end right there. There's a bunch of shit just went down.
Yeah, a bunch of shit just went down. But specifically in Kenosha, we also had some political violence went down in Portland. A bunch of Trump properties are getting their doors closed permanently. There's a bunch of people running for Congress who are really into QAnon, and a couple of them might actually have a shot at getting their seat. Mississippi now has the new design for their state flag. And, and we got a bunch of media and entertainment stories, including that live-action version of Mulan, which will be on Disney Plus very soon. We'll tell you when. And if you want my advice, don't watch it. I've been told by people who have seen it, it's not terribly good.
Mm-hmm. Don't pay the $30 for it, at least.
Yeah. So, dishonor on Disney, dishonor on Disney's mama, dishonor on Disney's daddy, dishonor on Disney's granny mammy. All that shit. Okay, so with that, it's now time to start the show as we always do. Chris, what have you been up to this week?
This has been a busy week. Weather-wise, it was all right. Rained a bit on, what was that, Tuesday and Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Wednesday was just sprinkling, so it wasn't too bad.
Mm.
Tuesday, I managed to miss it all. Got to work, was like, all right, I get all the, not rain, but all the humidity to go with it. So that was,
yay.
That was fun. Which I was just like, oh, good, I'm just starting work and I'm all sweaty now. That was fun. Yeah. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, I've been watching Better Call Saul still in season mm-hmm. two, but it's getting really fucking good now.
Oh, yeah.
And the great thing with the way Netflix does their thumbnails, you know, I already knew this, like, one of the major characters from Breaking Bad was going to show up. They mm-hmm. got to make sure and show it in the thumbnail so I don't have any questions about that shit. Which I think is one of their, mm-hmm. the worst things about Netflix is their variety of thumbnails, and some of them are going to spoil shit for shows that are like one season long. You have to get through a number of seasons. So yeah, I'm looking forward to when that character shows up. I just have no clue when, because I don't know, I'm enjoying the show, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch one episode of Sister Sister since that's up on there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still pretty fun.
Mm.
Especially being a show set in the 90s with the first episode taking partly in place in a fashion store.
Mm-hmm.
See, like, all the kinds of weird shit that people were into back then.
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah, it's... Especially fashion and, you know, teenager fashion.
Mm-hmm.
For the 90s, that is
something. Now, by 90s, are we talking, like, early 90s?
I think it was mid? Let me check. Yeah, premiered in 94. It's like mid-90s right there. Debuted on April 1st, 94. So yeah, that, but yeah, it's nice, having like Tim Reed and Jackie Harry as like the two parents. I'd forgotten the entire premise that they're twins that were separated, mm-hmm. for adoption and just happenstance to meet each other, and figure out that they are actually twins.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parents kind of move together, but not really are romantically interested in each other, at least this early on. So kind of just a means for the girls to kind of stay in each other's lives.
Yeah.
I guess so. An interesting household setup that you typically didn't see in shows like this.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nice. If you need something... a little bit nostalgic, a little bit different to watch on Netflix, there's Sister Sister.
Hmm.
Yeah, as for games, been playing more Dark Souls. I've beaten the Capra Demon, which mm-hmm. is a hell of a boss, because it's basically a boss that has big attacks that are hard to dodge,
mm-hmm.
and then puts you in a fucking tiny alleyway.
Yep.
To deal with them. And it's like, alright, fuck you. And along with that, it gives them two dogs as well, just in case it wasn't hectic enough.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to try and figure out, okay, I got to take out these dogs first because I need one target instead of three. And I was basically the strategy is essentially just to keep going up this staircase that's in this alley, by the way, luring the Capra Demon up it and then jumping off and doing this like. Taking pot shots here and there and just keeping your distance in a weird way. That's a very silly strategy in hindsight, but it's works.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all you need in Dark Souls. Just it works. All right, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's fancy or not, but
yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Blight Town, so.
Oh yeah, that's where you start. Basically, that's basically the. That's basically where you usually have to start.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is, that's where they start really fucking with you when they...
Oh, yeah.
Reveal to you that there could be slimes hanging on the ceilings that just drop mm-hmm. on top of you and just start sucking your life.
Yep.
Just real fuck you stuff like that. But yeah, that's been fun. Still gonna keep working through that.
Yeah.
But also one of the new releases this week, I got Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remastered, whatever the full title for that is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I've only opened up the first three stages in it in the first game. So that's the warehouse, the school, and the mall. And so I'm kind of just going through and trying to get what I can for the goals that they give you.
Yeah. See, the fun about those games is that you can basically spend hours in just those three areas.
Yeah, they open them up pretty quickly. Because you just have the complete goals, and it's like, oh, you need three more goal completions to open up, you know, this next map, that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm trying not to get everything because there are some things that I just can't do until I get more stat boosts. I'm just playing with Tony Hawk right now, so trying to get him more air on his jumps, that kind of stuff. Because there are some things that are a little bit tougher right now, so you kind of can't do everything at once, usually. Unless you're maybe really fucking good at the game, but I am not good at that yet. But the nice thing they do is they kind of round out the moveset with stuff from some of the later games. So you got the revert from 3. What else is there? There's like a wall ride and a wall jump. So you can kind of go directly at a wall. Jump up, hit, I think X, I think they let you change the input if you want. And then you just kind of do this thing where you plant your foot on the wall and just jump in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So lots of ways to extend combos. And I'm sure people will put together some really big combos, that kind of stuff. For now, I'm just trying to get my feet wet here and get through the game. And one of the things they do to kind of keep you just doing more than just the bare minimum is that there are these challenges that are essentially like stuff you would get in most normal games. Like, do 20 grab tricks. It's just like cumulative over all your runs. So you don't have to focus on just that for like a whole run or anything if you don't want to. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. There's like an overall account level. That just playing the game is not really going to get you much in the way of XP. I think it's usually like 10 XP or something like that per run. So you can't necessarily grind it that way. It's usually just from completing challenges, and there's quite a few of them in this game. A lot of them are like, oh, these are beginner ones. Some that get to like, oh, you have to do combo on this map with, you know, a grab trick, a kick trick, or flip trick, whatever. And a revert, like some more that are a little bit trickier, some for finding all the gaps, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot here for people to check out. So so far, so good for that. And yeah, I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it. And it's got all the music that you want that's evocative of the mid to late 90s there. And even some more modern stuff as well. But so far, so good on that. I look forward to putting some more time into it. And that's pretty much it. How about you, Teresa?
Well, I mentioned last week that I've been playing this game for money, which is awesome. And it's not bad. And I probably can't still talk about it just yet. But I put probably about 35, 40 hours into that MMO that I was testing out and gave feedback. It is the first game that I've played from that specific developer, publisher. I don't know what you want to call them. They're massive, I will say that. And I wasn't disappointed. I don't know if it's going to have like a monthly fee, but if it's just a flat base one-time purchase, I may go ahead and play it because I really like the way that it incorporated crafting and gathering as just part of the game in a way that other MMOs really, well, not any that I've played do. So it wasn't too bad. It was pretty casual. You know, I could play it like at lunchtime and go and do some specific things where other people would be there. And, you know, it wasn't bad. I don't know. I kind of wonder if anybody that I know would play it. So that's a concern. but I hope soon I could talk more about it, because it's still in a closed beta and I still have access. I thought my access was going to be restricted last night, but I guess it's through tonight. Other than that, I just played a little bit of Animal Crossing New Horizons just to see what was out for September. For other stuff, we started a new series, because we got to have some more stuff. So we started The Expanse. And
you made a good choice.
Yeah, all we watched so far is the pilot, and I can't wait to watch the next episode.
Yep.
That's crazy. I want to know more about these characters. I'm already in. I'm all in. We watched this week's Star Trek Lower Decks that came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And there was another one that I guess we missed, like episode 2. We just totally missed. And it's funny and not completely irreverent, but, you know, it's just funny Trek. I really enjoy it. And some parts of it, you know, I look at, especially the opening sequence. And I'm like, you know, I could see this being in a comic book. This is pretty cool. And they're putting a lot of effort into it, clearly. I mean, you could tell. But if you guys haven't watched it yet, I really recommend watching it if you can find a way to get it without CBS All Access. Because it's on that paid service, so people who don't want to pay the $8 a month for every freaking little thing. I feel like we're getting nickeled and dimed so much with our subscription net-based TV now. That, you know, it ends up being almost as much as having cable in some cases. Yeah. You know, by the time you have HBO this and HBO that, and you know, gotta have Sling because I want to watch Cartoon Network. It's crazy. Yeah. That could be like a whole podcast in and of itself.
Yeah. You gotta give it at least this though. Unlike with cable, you've actually got more control with this shit.
You do. You absolutely do. And I'll tell you what, like, I keep watching YouTube for music videos on the Xbox while I'm sitting, because I've got a desk in my room and that's where I work now. So I'm sitting in my room at my desk and I'm using the Xbox for YouTube. And it's so annoying to have to skip through those damn ads. I wish I had another computer hooked up back here.
Yeah, the thing I've noticed about YouTube ads of the last couple months is like, I mean, those are like 5-10 seconds, which are like whatever. Then there's some that are like 3 minutes long. I actually ran into one yesterday. It was 48 minutes long.
It's like a preview for
what the fuck
Magic
is wrong
the Gathering
with you?
Or something. And I'm like, I'm going to skip this. What?
And Patrick just joined us.
Yo, Pat.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a little bit of cleanup to do. There was a chocolatey mess from a DoorDash bag that I didn't realize I needed to clean up. So.
And Teresa mentioned Magic the Gathering, which is the other half of the summoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the longest YouTube ad, I swear to God. Is bananas.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is why I have ad blocker on when I watch YouTube.
Every single time. And people, if you don't have it, and have you guys heard, I wish Phil was here. Have you heard that the rumors that Chrome is going to stop with ad block? Of course, because they don't want people blocking YouTube and other things.
Yeah, that's why I use Firefox.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. You guys, Firefox or Brave Browser. I had good luck with that as well, but Firefox is really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
I swear by it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I put an image in the chat here of a website I was on the other day.
Oh my God.
Literally the same ad like 5 times on the same page.
That's crazy. Yeah, I really, you know, I have to say that they're getting smarter with ads. So I'm seeing a lot of vote yes for something. It's an Illinois specific thing. And of course I'm voting yes for it. Basically we have, it was made, I think it's 71 or 77. By a Republican governor, by the way, brought it into the Illinois Constitution that it is against the Constitution in Illinois to have a graduated tax rate. So my tax rate is the same as Michael Jordan's and Oprah Winfrey. And that's motherfucking bullshit. So I keep getting that on YouTube, and I'm like, okay, they got my IP address. Clearly they know where I am. I'm getting it on Sling. I'm getting it, you know, on all sorts of other places. And it's a little unusual because I don't see political ads generally unless I seek them out. So if I'm not going to Imgur and looking for political ads by Biden or Trump or whatever, I don't see what's going on. But this time I am, because there's things that I'm not blocking because I'm using the Xbox.
Yeah.
So, but that's pretty much it. A lot of weird, weird music video consumption while I'm working.
So, really?
Yeah, you know, and I love that song Gold on the Ceiling, but I swear to God, Google, if you guys play it more than 7 times in a workday, you need to stop. I love the song, but I don't want them to ruin it for me.
MLB The Show.
Yes.
And I thought of that song because somebody dug up an old picture of me and my mom and my ex-stepdad at a wedding reception in 1981, and I swear to God, there was gold-colored linoleum on the ceiling of the basement of the church where the reception was held. On the ceiling.
Yeah.
And that's been my week.
All right, Pat, what about you?
So, Teresa already knows this one, and I think you guys might at this point too, but with me getting more and more into retro mini reproductions and modding them and what have you, I was getting a little bit frustrated with the current state of N64 and Sega Saturn emulation on those. And so somehow, like, I was kicking the tires on, like, maybe an Odroid N2 Plus or something like that, just to see what was out there, and I was pretty happy with what I was seeing, like, on YouTube about it and everything. It seemed to be a pretty solid SBC for higher-end emulation than I was doing, but somewhere, you know, boredom is a terrible mistress. And somewhere between there, I went from looking at YouTube videos of how various systems were emulated on some SBCs and seeing what kind of instant gratification was available for me on Facebook Marketplace. And somewhere in there is a step I simply like to call the course of human events, because I'm not entirely sure what happened. But I now own an Alienware Alpha.
Which is amazing.
Thanks, Teresa, by the way, for the assist on that.
No worries.
She very much facilitated the process in that, but yeah, I didn't exactly realize what I was getting when I went ahead and bought it. It just looked like something that could serve as my Sega Saturn, Sega Dreamcast Mini, N64, stuff like that. So after I already picked it up and everything, I was going through YouTube videos of emulation running on it. And that pulled up other suggested videos of other things running on it that I hadn't even considered.
Like what?
Like Killer Instinct, like Forza 7, like all sorts of modern games that I wasn't really fixing to set up on here when I bought the system. I just wanted to play some fucking Panzer Dragoon. And it does run Panzer Dragoon. But it runs a hell of a lot more than that too, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can see why my currently bricked one is lovingly stored under the bed waiting for the day that my friend's husband can maybe go back into the office and replace bring it back to the life. I've got a couple of other BIOS chips that I bought that have different BIOS versions flashed on it. And I really hope, because it's nice and it's quiet and it's small. It's unobtrusive and it does a shit ton for such a little thing.
Yeah. Like, I'm impressed. I've actually doubled down on it since I made that purchase, and now I've got a few specific controllers coming and an external hard drive, so...
Nice.
I'm definitely going to be turning this into a build.
Well, I had, like, 6 external hard drives hooked up to that bitch.
It only has crazy. 4 USB ports!
I had a 10 hub. A 10-powered USB hub, and I still do! Yeah.
So, see, if I did that, I'd be kind of undermining the purpose that I got it for in the first place, but I can totally understand at the same time.
Well, you know, I mean, so it looked like a spider was coming out of the back of it. It was okay.
That or you were trying to summon ancient ones. But
I was trying to summon the Plex demons, and I did a good job of it.
But yeah, I've got a lot of setup done, thanks to some huge assists from Phil. And at this point, I'm just waiting for the Amazon shipment to arrive tomorrow for Comcast to check on me and find out if I'm okay. I'm going to be having a very productive 3-day weekend, to All say right. the least. So that's been it for me.
All right. Well, as for me, like I mentioned, I finished Code Vein last week, so I'm kind of trying to fill the gap until either, you know, I can get my hands on Cold Steel 4, which, you know, comes out in October, or I get a certain code from a certain someone for a certain game that comes out later this month. Hint, hint.
am I detecting some salt here?
No, I'm not. Chris does perfect work. It's just, it's less him and more that I'm impatient and salty about that impatience.
Easy to understand. It's been a long wait.
But it is from a company that I have, actually it's 2 companies whose work I'm fond of, and one of whom I have reviewed their work in the past, so, you know. Cross your fingers.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I've been sort of getting some mileage out of my PS Now subscription. And for those of you who don't know, this month they have added a couple of new games to PS Now. And one of them happens to be Final Fantasy XV. And let's see, it's been a couple of years now since that game came out. So, you know, the hype and debate and stuff died down, and I hadn't played it in a long time, so I thought, you know, it might be a good idea to go back and, you know, replay it, look at it with fresh eyes, you know, without all of the baggage and stuff that was going with it when it was originally released, you know, with the incredibly troubled production and the change in battle mechanics that not all Final Fantasy fans were okay with. Stuff like that.
Me.
Yeah.
Specifically Pat. I gotta admit, as far as like the actual gameplay is concerned, it's very sort of very Kingdom Hearts-esque, I have to say. It's very action RPG-ish. At least on the surface. I actually started to see a bit of the... Started to get kind of reminded of bits of the combat mechanics they made for Final Fantasy VII Remake. So it's not, you know, entirely bad or anything. I will admit, there is something really strange about this game as far as the experience goes, where you are driving a car, you're putting it at a gas station, you go into the gas station, you know, to get supplies and stuff, and to get it looked at by, you know, this game's version of Sid, who in this case is like a, well, you've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
You know what, it's a dumb character design, but I'm for it. So you're doing all this stuff in a in a, you know, like in a middle of a dusty nowhere desert town, and you're at the gas station getting your stuff, and you walk out of the gas station, and just across the road there's a pack of ravenous RPG beasts that will tear you to pieces.
Of course.
And then it's when you realize, wow, it would really suck to live in this universe.
Maybe they're just really scared of cars.
Possible.
No, they steer clear of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe they got, you know, those things that they have in Trails in the Sky. You know, what are they called? Those
orbital.
Yeah, the orbital. Yeah, the orbital posts that they, or orbital lights or whatever, that, you know, drive monsters away. Maybe they got those, but just underground. The best excuse I can come up with.
Yeah. It's a Nomura world, so it's probably pretty technologically advanced all the way around.
Which, I gotta admit, when it comes to high fantasy, I actually like that kind of thing. Because honestly, I'm kind of sick of high fantasy works where they've not managed to somehow progress past the horse and buggy stage of technology.
That's fair.
That is a fair point.
Yeah. But yeah, so other than that, I was like, all right, so I got this. I need something else that's a little bit more mindless and wild cardy I could get. So I also downloaded Dangerous Golf.
Oh.
Which is basically
that's fun.
It's a fun, dumb game. You're basically playing golf inside of places like, you know, dining rooms.
Yeah, like mini golf.
Yeah, but you're playing it in like dining rooms, gas stations, museums, kitchens, and basically the whole
purpose is dangerous.
Yeah, and the whole purpose is to try and bounce the ball around and cause as much destruction as you can before getting it into the hole.
Nice.
And honestly, some of that game's physics don't make any sense. Like, seriously.
Yeah. It's like a mini golf game where you don't, it doesn't tell you like how to read how far you need to hit it or anything.
Nope.
It just like hit it this way.
Yeah, hit it this way.
And it might go in.
Stuff will happen.
Yeah. And if you're lucky and you hit enough stuff before the ball, you know, comes to a stop, you'll be able to activate the I guess it's called the smash breaker or whatever thing, where it then suddenly lights on fire and it bounces all over the place. And then you can actually control it for a limited amount of time.
Yeah, that's where you want to just bust up as much shit as you can.
Oh, yeah. And that part is always fun. Unless, of course, you know, the hole that you have to get to is like on top of a table or something. Because then it's next to impossible to get the freaking thing to get into a position you need it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Let's see. Other than that, my usual reading. I got the hardcover collection of what's called The Rediscovery of Man, which is the complete collection of all of Cordwainer Smith's short fiction. For those of you who don't know, Cordwainer Smith, amongst other things, is the guy who came up with the idea of an instrumentality. So if you ever wondered where the idea for the Human Instrumentality Project from Evangelion comes from.
Oh, that was him.
It doesn't work the same way, but the concept is essentially the same. The idea of creating a program that creates something that will guide humanity towards a specific destiny, basically. In Cordwainer Smith's world, it's essentially a nobility made up of incredibly powerful psionics, whereas in which I think there's about 7 of them. And in Evangelion, it's the creation of 7 AIs trying to basically force humanity's evolution into a part where it becomes a sort of a single organism rather than, I don't know, that anime makes no sense once you get to the end of it, but it sure does look pretty. But finally,
we all leveled up off of it one way or another.
Yeah, and finally, the dog got neutered this week.
Good times.
Yep. So yeah, he went there Monday morning. He stayed there the rest of the day, and then Mom and Wynn got him Tuesday morning. And so, a couple of things. One thing is, for the first day, he was basically still sweating off the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and you know what? That anesthetic usually does for dogs when they're getting fixed.
What?
After they wake up.
What?
Foamy diarrhea.
Ooh. Oh, that's just lovely.
Oh yeah, and there was plenty to go around.
Oh, how fun!
Yeah, fortunately just he drank plenty of water, so he didn't get dehydrated.
Okay.
Other than that, he is not really much of a change yet. Really,
yeah.
I mean, like Teresa told me, if dogs are anything like cats, it takes about 2 weeks for the excess testosterone to be flushed out.
Yep.
So, but hopefully after that, he won't be quite as aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Been a couple of years at least.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah, he is now playing the part of Sans Testicles. And, yeah. All right. Well, anybody got anything else we want to add before we move on?
I just want to reiterate, this week sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually. You guys want to hear something stupid that I did?
Because, oh, Lord.
Why the hell not? Why the
I
hell
mean,
not?
You're selling the hell out of it, so I think we're kind of on the hook now.
I heard those two words at the beginning, and I immediately started to have ideas. Go ahead.
It's work-related. You guys know I'm back at a job that I did this time last year. Mm-hmm. I did this contract from August through November.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And usually the way that my brain works, man, I flush every fucking thing out of my head when I leave a job because mm-hmm. I'm done, right?
Mm.
Nah, I didn't. No. So I remember a lot of things, right? And I'm doing really well. I'm getting my shit done. But I had, I guess, a blonde moment or a derp moment because I ain't blonde. You guys know, like, how you've seen on the internet, somebody orders a cake that says, thanks for a great year in purple. And the cake mm-hmm. person writes out, thanks for a great year in purple, instead of using purple icing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did about the same thing. I was supposed to add X logo to a table, and I just typed the fucking words in instead of adding the logo like an idiot. So that one actually got viewed by more people than I wish had viewed it. And instead of having the specific logo in there, it just had the fucking words, add this logo. Fail. So, yeah. But it's a funny story for people who have seen the cakes.
Yeah.
And now I want cake.
Had to bring it up, didn't you?
And onward.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then, with that out of the way, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And today we're going to talk a little bit about probably one of the great authors of the mid 1800s, all the way from France, the gentleman by the name of Alexandre Dumas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody is at least somewhat familiar with who Alexandre Dumas was, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the author of The Count of Monte Cristo, the D'Artagnan romances, the most famous of which is probably The Three Musketeers, and a crap ton of other stuff, too. He was very, very prolific. Think about, let me see, about a week ago, yeah, last Friday, in fact, Google, you know, usually does their Google Doodle thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the 28th, they put up their Google Doodle, which was in celebration of the life and legacy of Alexandre Dumas, which showed basically in, like, comic strip panels the basic plot to The Count of Monte Cristo, which, if you don't know, Count of Monte Cristo is basically about a dude who gets wrongly convicted for a crime he didn't commit, thanks to a conspiracy by some friends of his, he gets sent off to a dungeon on like a prison island. He befriends this crazy old man who tells him of a place called Monte Cristo where there's a bunch of treasure buried. He goes to Monte Cristo, finds the treasure, completely remakes his identity as the Count of Monte Cristo, and then spends the rest of the book basically getting revenge on the people that wronged him in his previous life, slowly and methodically, over about 800 something pages. It's a long book.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you look at the actual Google Doodle, you'll notice something about Alexandre Dumas as they portray him, which is that he is very, shall we say, swarthy or dark-skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually got some people ticked off because they thought that Google was trying to
color wash.
Yeah, very popular French author. Here's the problem. Oh. Alexandre Dumas was, in fact, a man of color.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there's a lot of interesting things you could talk about as far as Alexandre Dumas, you know, his career, the way he produced his work with, like, a massive studio of writers that he collaborated with. The fact that he is one of the first writers to actually describe what we now call as pizza. he was a dude who was really into food, as anybody who has seen a picture of him can attest. As it happens, Alexandre Dumas was in fact a man of color. His father was a gentleman who was actually a French general. His father was Thomas Alexandre Dumas, who was a French general during the French Revolution and through the Napoleonic Wars. He was originally born in the Isle of Saint-Domingue, which we now know of as Haiti. His parents were in fact a French nobleman and a slave woman. And Dumas' own mother was a white French woman. So he was essentially a man who was quarter African in his ethnicity. And the thing is, this was not a secret during his lifetime or during his career. He was friends and confidants with a bunch of the popular French authors of the day, you know, Victor Hugo, Emile Zola, Balzac, all those guys. His color was not uncommented on. Balzac famously called him that Negro. And Frederick Douglass, who was actually a big fan of his, lamented in his diaries about the fact that even though Dumas was an amazing writer, he didn't really use much of his talents to call attention to the issues of racism. There's even this really, really racist caricature that was drawn in a French right-wing newspaper during his lifetime that depicts him as an extremely offensive, woolly-haired, you know, big-lipped caricature, boiling his characters alive in a soup pot to eat them. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Dumas, for his part, actually had a pretty good good wit and way to, you know, get back at people when they would make light of his ethnicity. And there's a quote here he talked to someone. They basically insulted him for his partial African ancestry, and he remarked, quote, My father was a mulatto, my grandfather was a Negro, and my great-grandfather a monkey. You see, sir, my family starts where yours ends.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, as far as what Frederick Douglass said, the theme of racism wasn't completely unknown in his work. There was one particular novel he published called Georges, where racial prejudice is, in fact, a central theme. The thing about Georges is, on top of that, it's also kind of a prototype of what would become the Count of Monte Cristo. If you find it in English, it's usually published under the title George or The Planter of the Isle of France. But yeah, so as it turns out, France's most popular author of all time, and I mean that quite seriously, most of his work has never gone out of print.
I believe it.
Yeah. The Count of Monte Cristo and the Three Musketeers in particular are basically available in every language under the sun.
Yeah.
But the most popular French author of all time was also a man of color. And the thing is, the reason that most people don't realize this in the modern era is because, for one, I guess by this point it's kind of fallen by the wayside for most people. And two, like I said, if you've read any of his work, race generally doesn't come up in it, and most of his characters are just regular white Europeans. So, yeah,
yep.
You figure it out. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and he also, for those of you, I mentioned earlier the D'Artagnan romances. The first one, of course, is The Three Musketeers. That's the one that most people remember. It's the most famous. After that, he wrote a sequel called 20 Years After that came out the following year. And then he published the third book in the trilogy called The Vingt-Ans de Brélion, or just sometimes called 10 Years Later. And that one is very long. It's actually longer than the first two books combined. And it's most known for the first third of that book that's sometimes published alone, which most people know as The Man in the Iron Mask.
Ah.
And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Nice.
So what the fuck is George R.R. Martin's excuse?
He's an old man doing old man things.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. Okay, so with that out of the way, it is now time for the show proper. And as always, we have to start off with the assholes of the week. Really, it's the asshole of the week plus one, because our primary asshole of the week is, of course, President Donald Trump, because he managed to do three awful shit things this week. Well, I say this week, one of them actually happened back in 2018, but we'll explain.
It's because he's an asshole.
Yeah. China. So, last week, there was the murder of two men by Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha. He was a 17-year-old douchebag who was trying to, quote-unquote, defend someone's private property that wasn't even his and was insured. He had apparently shot at someone else earlier. Then all the people realized, holy crap, there's this little shit waving around a high-powered machine rifle. At a crowd.
That's why you don't give kids guns, because they don't understand things like that.
We should probably get that thing away from him before he hurts someone. So they all start chasing him. He then turns around and he shoots three people, killing two and injuring one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, amongst other things, there was the immediate attempts to turn him into a hero and the victims into bastards who had it coming.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, they had to dig out an old sex offense charge that was cleared from his record because he was only 18 at the time.
17, wasn't he?
Somewhere in between there.
Yeah.
In fact, if you actually go to the sex offender registry, which, by the way, you can go online and look up the sex offender registry at any time. It's not a not a secret. He is not there.
If it was, it wouldn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, and you will plainly see he is not there. And the other person may or may not have had a history of domestic violence. Which, you know, okay, fine, that's bad, but that doesn't really play into the situation here, does it?
That's not what the kid was shooting them for.
No. And, yeah, so then we got a bunch of assholes coming forward trying to defend this kid, saying he was just trying to defend himself. And other bullshit.
Which is a bunch of crap.
And then Donald Trump came forward.
Includes the baby in chief.
Yeah, who came forward this week and defended him.
Yeah, he was asked during the Monday press briefing whether he would condemn the Illinois teen's actions. Said he was trying to get away from them, I guess, it looks like. I guess he was in very big trouble. He probably would have been killed.
Bullshit.
Which is no. They wanted him away from the gun.
Yeah, they wanted to get that damn gun away from him before he hurt someone, which is exactly what he ended up doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I also love Trump in these sort of statements where he's like, where he wants to go full on into the conspiracy, but then it's like, I guess it looked like it. I guess, I don't know.
You know, he tries to give himself a wiggle room. Defer.
Yeah, he does that whole thing where he tries to sort of give himself enough plausible deniability when someone calls him out on it.
I said maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying shit.
Pretty much it.
Because my mind is going to mush in front of millions of people.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be talking about that a little bit this week too, aren't we? Because we found out.
I think I have it on here.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and mention it now very quickly.
Yeah. It's basically, a weird story.
Yeah, basically, he had to make an emergency trip to which hospital was it?
Walter Reed Medical Center.
And apparently, Mike Pence was on standby unless he had to, you know, take the oath of office. And they've basically denied that it ever happened in a very slipshod manner. But it's since come out that more than likely the reason he got there was because he had a couple of mini strokes. And there is now some footage that was taken shortly after that event where he's very clearly dragging his right foot.
And then he accused Biden of having mini strokes.
Because cheaters always accuse somebody of doing the same thing they do.
And also he wants to put it on, well, it's not me, so it has to be Biden.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like, oh, that didn't happen. Move on. It didn't happen, but they're probably
talking about, and if it did happen, it wasn't that bad. And if it did happen, it's not my fault. And it already happened, so what can we do about it?
It wasn't me. It was the other old man.
Yeah.
It's in this race. I probably shouldn't be here either.
Word.
Well, if any of the last couple weeks have shown, it's that Joe Biden is obviously a lot sharper than he is.
Yeah.
Even if they're basically the same age.
Physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, anyway. Yeah, he basically came forward and was like, yeah, he's awesome. He kid's okay. He was trying to defend himself, or maybe not. I don't know, because that's just what he does. And then he went further by calling the Kenosha protesters domestic terrorists when he went to actually visit the town of Kenosha.
Which the mayor said, no thanks, we don't need you here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just going to cause more chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, it's like, you almost got there. It was domestic terrorists. Those weren't the protesters, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Those are the fucking police and the shitty people like the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Those are the domestic terrorists, but you almost got there, and then you took the right turn into the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. And then,
which, I don't know if you saw the other part of this, where he wanted to take a picture in front of a store that had been burned down, and the owner was like, no, fuck you. So he got the old owner of the store to agree to pretend to be the current owner.
Yep.
For this photo op. So,
yeah,
you know, he's into photo ops however you can get them.
Whoever he has to throw canisters at and bullets. It's, and what else?
Like, ugh. It's not like he's hiding any of this.
Nope.
It's
It's so obvious.
Yeah, I was watching the H-Bomber guy's video on climate denial.
Yeah.
It's like, with any amount of looking into these things, you can see plainly that they're fake. That they're lying about these things for whatever reason it is. Mm-hmm. And Trump is doing the exact same things here.
Yeah. Oh, but then I think this is probably the one that was probably going to have the worst effect this week. So back in 2018, Trump made a trip over to Europe. I'm not sure, was it during like the G8 summit or something?
Something like that.
And it was, I think it was in France.
Okay.
Or somewhere. The point is, it's somewhere where a bunch of World War
American I cemetery sold. Near Paris.
Yeah, it's near Paris. And there's a cemetery there that buries a bunch of
Ray was going to go. It was canceled because of rain.
Yeah, well, we'll tell you. He basically went there. He went over there, and while he was there, there is this cemetery. It's near Paris where a bunch of dead American soldiers who died during World War I were buried. Now, obviously here in the U.S., World War I is kind of a minor event for us because we got really late in the game there.
But not for everywhere else in the world.
Nope. Especially for France, because France is where some of the worst fighting happened.
Yeah.
The fields of Verdun. There, it is literally like a giant freaking crater out in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
It
was a nasty war.
Well, it was a nasty war, but it was particularly nasty in France.
Yeah, but it was. And there was a lot of deaths.
Yeah. Of the story. Apparently, there were plans for Trump to go and visit that cemetery because, you know, he's an American president. He should go visit where American war dead are, give his respects. It could have been like a 5-minute affair. He would have been gone.
Okay.
But then they decided to cancel it. And the reason they originally gave was that, well, it was raining and he didn't want to get his hair wet. Now, that's already a really stupid excuse.
Also the helicopters.
It's a stupid excuse, but it's also an easy sell with him.
Yeah. It's stupid and it's kind of disrespectful, but honestly, it'd probably be better if he wasn't there anyway.
Okay.
But no, that isn't the reason he didn't go there. No, the reason he didn't go there is because he believed that he said all over there who are buried, who are American soldiers that died in World War I were all losers and suckers, and he didn't think that he owed them a visit.
Yeah, I think the quote is, "Why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers." Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just take a second to let that one marinate a bit.
Your so-called pro-military candidate.
Do you guys know how fucking fed up with him the military is?
Extremely.
Oh, I can imagine.
I know. I know some people who are military or ex-military, they really cannot wait for November to come and go.
Well, I mean, what
definitely doesn't help when he brings on like one of the most esteemed generals that they've ever had, mm-hmm. and just throws them to the side when it's convenient. Says, "Get out of here."
Yep, and like, let's Russia put bounties on our soldiers.
And his administration is actively trying to cut military health care.
And make children born to military families stationed overseas for long-term periods not American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally a laundry list of things that he has done.
Yeah. Well,
to attack the military.
There's a billboard I've seen a lot on the way home. I don't think it's still there, but it was his quote about John McCain.
Yeah.
And I think we need to remind everyone about that, because remember, this same shit came up when he was running in 2016. The whole thing about, you know, saying, you know, "I prefer veterans who aren't captured."
Yeah.
Or how he totally shit all over that Gold Star family.
Yep.
Yeah, this isn't a new thing for him. He is just that selfish. She doesn't care about people that put their lives on the line to police our interests all across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think it's right or not, but they're put into situations
that deserve respect from
the president, who is the commander in chief of our entire military.
Yeah. You know, for a party that says to really support our troops, they really do treat them like shit.
Yeah. Especially after they come back and they don't want to give them any health care or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're just a shield.
Yeah.
They're
expendable.
My father was Vietnam War wounded veteran, and I can only imagine some of the colorful things he would have to say right about now.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I imagine. Yeah, I saw, Howard Dean, was talking about how his father was captured in Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
and executed, and just ends with "fuck you, Donald Trump,"
mm-hmm.
For saying that. And yeah, so he's been, denying it all day, calling a hoax, all this kind of stuff. And guess who confirmed the events just a little bit ago? Fox News.
Yep.
Fox News.
They are really turning.
All right, this is 100% confirmed now.
Yep, this is no longer just a
liberal conspiracy against him.
Nope, he actually said this.
Yep.
And it's not a surprise, and that's the worst.
No.
Thing. Mm-hmm. But in spite of all that, he still isn't the only asshole we had this week. We also have our Attorney General, Bill Barr, who, amongst other things, adamantly denied that systemic racism in the police system exists in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, saying I don't think there are two justice systems. I think the narrative that the police are in some epidemic of shooting unarmed black men is simply a false narrative. Mm-hmm. Also the narrative that's based on race. I think there are some situations where statistics would suggest that they're treated differently, but that's necessarily racism. Let's see.
Well, what would you say is racism, motherfucker? I mean, you know?
Didn't Jesse Jackson say that when he looks behind him and he sees a group of young black males walking behind him, he's more scared than when he sees a group of young white youths walking behind him?
Oh, when it's convenient, they'll quote Jesse Jackson when it's convenient.
Or Martin Luther King.
Yeah, which Jesse Jackson said that Barr had taken his comments out of context.
Yeah.
Saying that it's back in the 90s, his family lived in a drug-infested neighborhood where a family member's son was killed right in front of my house, killed right in front of my wife, a drug thing.
Yeah.
And said that he had been talking about the young man who killed his relative. If he comes behind me, I would be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Mr. Barr said is the opposite about what I meant about crime. Those shot in Wisconsin, killings in Ferguson, and the killing in Atlanta, Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, all those were police killings that had nothing to do with who was coming down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have a conversation with William Barr.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sure he would. It'd probably be 2 words long.
Yeah. Barr's probably the worst thing about the whole administration because he enables all of Trump's
mm-hmm.
bullshit, and he is willing to be the guy that, you know, polices his enemies.
Yeah.
When he decides he wants it.
Now, to put it in perspective, he's the guy who does the things that Jeff Sessions thought were too dirty for him. And just let that marinate for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. But it's not all bad. We got some heroes of the week, too. First, a particular church in Savannah, Georgia, that up until recently was a member of the United Methodists. But for those who don't know, recently the United Methodist Church voted to keep their bans on same-sex weddings and LGBTQ clergy. This particular, the First United Methodist Church in Savannah, Georgia, said, you know what, screw you guys, and they decided to leave. Because they're not only pro-LGBTQ rights, they've also got LGBTQ clergy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Asbury Memorial Church.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Said, a statement it believes is first U.S. church to leave the denomination over
UMC's unequal treatment of LGBTQ people.
Mm-hmm.
So now is the United Methodist Church going to change its name, or are they just going to run with the irony?
Good question.
And now, next up, we've got a story of a miscarriage of justice that was finally resolved this week. After 23 years in prison, 6 trials, 4 death sentences, Curtis Flowers has had all of his charges dropped.
Yep.
This man, he's from Mississippi, and he even had to deal with house arrest while he was out of jail for months for a series of murders that the evidence for him was very weak. And this week, he was finally had all the charges dropped against him.
Let me guess, he's a man of color?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And also, this is Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Doug Evans, who's the district attorney of Mississippi, tried this guy 6 times. 6 times for these murders at a furniture store. And
his first 3 trials resulted in death sentences.
4 times, I think.
By the, these first 3 trials were death sentences that were overturned by the Mississippi Supreme Court. His 4th and 5th trials ended in hung juries. His 6th trial in 2010 sent him back to death row at Parchman Prison. Mm-hmm. He might have remained had the U.S. Supreme Court not decided to take up his case.
Yep.
In 2019, the High Court reversed his conviction and death sentence, sending his case back to Montgomery County for a possible 7th trial, touching off a string of legal victories. In December, a judge granted his release on bail, setting Flowers, who's now 50, free after he had spent nearly half his life behind bars.
Yep.
Then Doug Evans, who had zealously pursued Flowers for a quarter century, recused himself from the case and handed over to the Attorney General's office.
Now, if you want to talk about the really fucked up part, according to the letter of the law, the legal system's responsibility here begins and ends with sorry.
Yeah.
So I hope he sues the state for all it's worth.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? Just make him governor. I mean, hell, he'll definitely do better than the one that's currently governor.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that man
hell,
is now
even Brett Kavanaugh supports him.
Yeah.
When he was up for the Supreme Court ruling, Brett Kavanaugh voiced concerns that Flowers' most recent conviction was tainted, concerning Evans' earlier violations of Flowers' constitutional rights. We can't take the history out of the case, Kavanaugh said, which is a hell of a thing to get that guy on your side.
Right.
Yeah, even got the order of events for what happened here, which is kind of wild.
Mm. Well, all right, so moving on from there, we now start the proper show proper. And
shame it's rare for this kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. You got organizations like the Innocence Project that does stuff like this.
Yeah.
But there's only so much that a small group of people can do, unfortunately. But anyway, like I said, proper show proper, and unfortunately, this week we say goodbye to Chadwick Boseman.
That came out of left field.
Yeah, it actually came out after we finished Let's Weekend
right at the
last
end.
Week. Right at
the end of the show.
He died from cancer, wasn't it?
Colon cancer.
And apparently he had been keeping it hidden the whole time.
Last 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into stage 4 in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Kept it to himself.
Still went and saw kids in the hospital too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even during when they were making Black Panther, he had been in contact with a couple of kids who were hoping to survive to the film's release.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There's actually like a couple of photographs of him with like fans and friends and family up to that point, and as you look at him, it becomes increasingly clear. Yeah, he isn't looking too well. He looks skinnier and skinnier and more like it's really obvious something is wrong.
Yeah, it does help that he
the roles he took was kind of having him bulk up and bulk down and back and forth a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made all of his appearances as Black Panther while dealing with cancer. Getting his treatments and all that, which is incredibly strenuous for physical activity and all that. Had to deal with getting his chemotherapy and all that kind of stuff going on.
It just showed
the kind of person he was.
Yeah.
It's a shame because he was very much quickly on the rise.
Oh, yeah. That Black Panther, that movie was such a big deal for so many people all over the world.
Yeah, which people brought back up the video he did with on the Tonight Show where they had like fans who were kind of doing a little thing where they're talking to like the movie poster and he was hanging out behind a curtain listening and like reacting after they got to say what they wanted. You know, saying hi and all that when they like talk about how much it meant for him to do this kind of role and make this kind of superhero movie for Black people that hadn't seen that much stuff like that. And he was very much involved in the making of Black Panther, just making suggestions on lines, tuning into auditions, all that kind of stuff.
So he
played a Jackie Robinson. Who else? Yeah, James Brown. Thurgood Marshall. Like, he did a lot of stuff for only in the past like 6 years.
So yeah, sad to see him go. It was a real shock for just about everybody. But yeah. So moving on from there. Here we go. We'll open up the garage.
Oh, yeah, back I guess I'll saw this. The post on his Twitter account announcing his death became the most liked tweet in Twitter history. Kind of a final way to honor his legacy.
So moving on from there, we're opening up the garage door, backing out the COVID-19 dump truck because we got another load for you this week. All right, here we go. As far as worldwide goes, there are 26.5 million cases, and of those 26.5 million cases, those have led to 872,000 deaths worldwide. That's worldwide. In the United States alone, the numbers have climbed to 6.2 million cases, and 188,000 people have died.
Yeah, we're
most of them in Florida.
Yeah, we're on a sad path of 1,000 deaths a day.
Yep.
Which means until we can elect Biden in, we have to lose another 60,000 people. That's kind of a sad...
That's a very sad thought.
...realization. That Trump is willing to sacrifice that many people for a shot at keeping the death train going.
And how many people were okay with that.
Yeah.
Too many.
Speaking of that administration, they have refused to join in to let the United States join in a worldwide effort to develop a vaccine because the worldwide led vaccine effort is being led by the World Health Organization.
Yep.
And they're that fucking petty.
They are.
Nothing really much to say there. Just.
Yeah, they're still pushing the narrative that they are corrupt and is accused of them initially aiding China and covering up the scope of the pandemic. Which,
yeah.
The only thing I really say is like there were probably bad decisions made early on. But I don't think it was intended to like let it spread. It was more ignorance, incomplete information, because we just did not know much about this thing back then.
Also, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his family have tested positive.
The Rock.
Did yeah, you The just Rock.
You said The Ron.
I accidentally said The Ron, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his family tested positive this week.
Yeah, it says they're okay.
Yeah.
Hanging in there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dwayne Johnson.
That has to become a running joke on this show.
Yeah, Dwayne the Ron Johnson.
Joxton, I think you said.
Yeah. Anyway, and the filming for the film The Batman, that's been you know, very anticipated. It's been halted because Robert Pattinson, the star, has gotten COVID-19 himself.
Yeah. And just think, like, when people who are filming, like, and starring, how many people has he come in contact with?
Yeah, yeah. It's... And even they're trying to do these things as best as they can, and it's still not enough, which is like,
yeah,
you guys need to stop trying to force these things for the sake of making money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just let us watch old shit for a while.
And here's the thing.
It's going to be okay.
All these studios make shitloads of money off of each movie. They'll be okay for a while.
Yeah.
They still got movies that are in the can that they haven't been able to release yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, calm down, people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're trying to make these big budget movies that need a bunch of people around.
Yeah. Yeah, so now we'll back the COVID-19 dump truck back into the garage. Stay tuned next week when we'll have a fresh load. Because we will. Anyway, moving on from there, we had some political violence go down in Portland this week. A supporter of Patriot Prayer, which for those you don't know, that's basically a far-right group that likes to cause shit. Showed up in Portland, and one of them was shot and killed by an anti-racist activist. The activist was on camera claiming he did it because of self-defense.
Okay.
Yeah,
he was shot and killed by police on Thursday.
God damn it.
Yeah, they're trying to arrest him. I guess things went south, and instead of trying to detain him, just shot him.
Or maybe it didn't. We'll never know, because he's dead. Unlike Rittenhouse, who is alive and in custody.
Yeah, going by what the police have said.
For whatever the fuck that's worth.
Yeah. There's reports indicate the suspect produced a firearm, threatening the lives of law enforcement officers. Task force members responded to the threat and struck the suspect, who was pronounced dead at the scene. Yeah. Which I like this sentence here. The statement did not say whether Reinald, who identified with the militant anti-fascist known collectively as Antifa, had fired his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which. There's some congresspersons like, we need to get all the information pulled up on Antifa, you know, hotels, airplanes, all this shit. It's like, oh yeah, good luck.
I think it was
that.
Rand Paul.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, good luck with all that.
Yeah, go find the airplane that Antifa used.
That's not how Antifa works. Antifa is not actually a group.
But yeah, this
or an organization.
Yeah, this whole thing with the right wingers going to Portland has been a thing for years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just going down to start shit.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's nothing too bad that happens. Some assholes get the fucking shit knocked out of them.
Yeah.
But every now and again.
Yeah, this one had Trumpers in trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Their flags and shit, driving around shooting people with paintball guns, I believe.
Yep.
Oh, fuck that shit.
Yep, that's exactly what they were doing.
Which, you know, this is a good way to not get the few people that are armed on edge.
Yeah. By the way, have any of you ever actually been shot with a paintball gun before?
No.
It stings like hell.
No, but I've seen the aftermath from some people.
Mm-hmm. It will bruise.
Yeah.
It will bruise.
A lot.
They hurt like hell. And keep in mind, none of these the people that they were shooting at didn't have the traditional protective gear that goes with paintball gun.
No.
Yeah, I think that's the point. It's a legal thing. They can shoot at them. I guess as long as they don't do, like, shoot them in the eye or something like that, it could cause permanent damage.
Mm.
You know what? No, it's physical assault.
Yeah, it is.
But they're cowards.
Mm-hmm.
The law needs to be changed. That's just not fucking right.
Mm.
Yeah, but the president supports these assholes.
Yeah, speaking of assholes, A couple of Boogaloo boys were arrested on terrorism charges in Minnesota because it turns out they were planning on going to, I think it was Kenosha, and, quote, picking people off.
Well, these guys were charged with conspiring to provide and attempting to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization.
Ooh.
For allegedly building firearm suppressors that they believe they sold to Hamas. For allegedly offering to fight as, quote, mercenaries for the group.
Okay, so this is a different group. That those other two guys are real, though.
These are guys like, okay. One, you guys are stupid fucking idiots.
Yeah, this is like that group of Klansmen who tried to, like, get a materials for, like, a death ray they were going to have in the back of a van to kill Jewish people.
God.
Yeah.
Sure, I can believe that's a thing.
No, it's totally a thing. Look it up.
I'm saying it's not ludicrous in this day.
No, yet. It's not ludicrous.
It wasn't ludicrous 50 years ago either.
No. But yeah, so these idiots apparently tried to go give aid and support to Hamas.
Yeah.
Why?
Which, if you remember, the right-wing media tried to claim that Obama had ties to them.
Yeah.
Oh,
back when he was trying to get elected.
Was it Hamas or Hezbollah? I can't remember.
I think it was Hamas.
All right. But yeah. Yeah.
And they were going to plan on killing... Oh, wait, it says... they thought about attacking a National Guard armory to steal weapons and bombs. Oh, yeah, that would work out well. Paid informant whom Teeter and Solomon believed to belong to Hamas. They recorded a conversation in which Solomon, Teeter, and another person talked about shooting police. So, you know, when you talk about BLM being all about attacking police and all this, just think about these people here.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually going the lengths to actually get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I didn't have it in here, but there was a study that suggested that of all the racial justice protests that had been happening over the past few months, 93% were peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Shocking news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I guess part of the non-peaceful included toppling Confederacy statues.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, Trump International Hotel in Vancouver, Canada is closed permanently.
Ooh, was that one blighted too?
Probably.
This is one when they were putting it up, there was a lot of protests about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the hotel operator TA Hotel Management Partnership filed for bankruptcy on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Which then involved this hotel shutting down pretty abruptly.
Mm-hmm. Going from there.
It had been closed for the foreseeable future just because of COVID-19 and all that.
Yeah.
But they got the final word that they're going out of business.
Mm-hmm. And in further Trump fuckery, he has asked his supporters in North Carolina in a roundabout way to vote twice to test out the fraud detection systems there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to vote by mail and then go vote in person.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets all up in arms about voter fraud, and then he goes out and tells people to commit voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then his cult people are saying that, oh, he was just joking. Yeah, okay. I believe it.
Well, then he's not joking. Funny.
No, something it's not funny about fucking him. Funny. Fucking against the law is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get a bunch of people arrested and jailed for felonies so that he has company. He makes his way there.
Could be.
Yeah. And
that's a sound theory. Yeah, I can sign off on that.
Mm-hmm. And now, next up, we got some political news. Basically a sign of the times that things really are changing.
Yeah.
For the first time in American history... A Kennedy lost a primary in Massachusetts.
Yep.
Ed Markey won his primary over Joe Kennedy.
He was fending for his seat.
Yep.
And then somebody else won the primary for his old seat. He was a house rep.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost two seats.
Yep. Yeah, so Ed Markey, he's kind of an old codger, but he is also one of the most progressive members of Congress. He's hitched his wagon to AOC and the Green New Deal and everything. He's smart enough to know which way the wind's blowing.
Yeah.
Basically, this is just a sign that, you know, and here's where it really gets funny. You know who ended up endorsing Joe Kennedy for this primary?
Hmm.
Oh, Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
AOC instead endorsed Ed Markey.
Of course.
And Ed Markey
the right choice.
Won. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which goes to show you that the makeup of the Democratic Party is changing very rapidly right before our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't move fast enough.
Plus, he's had her own shit going on this week.
Oh, yeah. That
has found one thing to try and create into a molehill.
Yeah. Apparently, she went and got a haircut, and apparently the thing was made up as a setup.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, when you get your hair cut and wash and all that, you probably don't want the mask on.
Yeah.
And conveniently, they got pictures of her before she put it back on.
Mm-hmm.
There was an anonymous Democratic strategist who made a bunch of salty comments about the outcome that actually ended up getting shared on Scrub Quotes.
Oh, boy.
So that'll... Yeah, it said, the Markey campaign did a masterful job convincing voters Ed is someone he is not. This goes to show you that the left doesn't do their homework and they're easily won over by bright, shiny things, said a Kennedy ally. So
Markey is a bright, shiny thing.
You saying that about a 74-year-old man?
Take a moment to digest that.
And also, the guy you're defending is the guy that you're running for is part of a freaking dynasty.
Yeah.
And you want to call this guy a bright, shiny new thing.
They wanted the new thing. They would have gone for the young Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The incumbent that is 74 years old. That's not how words work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I just find it hilarious that it ended up on Scrub Quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, moving on from there, QAnon. There is bunch of congressional candidates out there who really believe in this.
They totally do. And so do their Karen followers.
And some of them actually have a good shot of getting a seat this election.
Yeah.
One of them happens to be in my home state of Georgia.
Yeah, I talked about her before. Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, we're going to say we're so shocked.
She decided to put up a picture of herself with an assault rifle next to three members of the squad.
Yay.
She said the squad's worst nightmare.
Yeah, that's definitely not sending any signals, is it?
Yeah, let's see. The post was, hate America leftists want to take this country down. Politicians have failed this country. I'm tired of seeing weak establishment Republicans play defense. Our country is on the line. America needs fighters who speak the truth. We need strong conservative Christians to go on the offense against these socialists who want to rip our country apart. Americans must take our country back. Save, these are all in caps now. Save America, stop socialism, defeat the Democrats. Marjorie.
All because we want to give people some fucking health care. You know?
That's because that's helping black people and the Muslims.
Because can't do that. Victim mentality works.
Yeah.
Which people started comparing this stuff to the propaganda we see against Muslims and terrorists and all that. So it's like, it's starting to look pretty similar.
Yeah.
It's Red Scare 2.0.
Yeah, they've got the one note. The only difference is this one isn't working.
Well, this one might, because she is in a very red district.
Well, yeah, but it's not working in that it's turning into a full-on witch hunt like the first two Red Scares were.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, this whole thing got taken off of Facebook, too, because...
Yeah.
The one person on Facebook is like, oh yeah, this actually is bad. Let's take this down. Which I'm sure feeds into her conspiracy, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's trying
everything
to.
Would.
Well, you have to remember the thing about QAnon is it is, in fact, a cult.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a cult without a leader. Well, there is a leader, it's just that the leader isn't really.
An absentee leader.
Yeah, it's a figurehead more than anything.
I've seen that people think they know who it is, Q.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
The head of 8chan.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that sounds about right for somebody who.
By the way, 8chan is not a thing anymore, just so people don't know.
That person. Yeah.
So QAnon is basically a conspiracy theory where everyone is convinced that the world is being ruled by a cabal of satanic pedophiles who drink the blood of children in order to keep their youth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making any of that up.
Which is that not based on the blood pact or something like that that they used to accuse Hollywood Jews of being in?
Blood libel?
Yeah. That.
That goes all the way back to the Middle Ages when plague would come through and then they would either accuse the Jews of poisoning wells or killing Christian children and then using their blood to flavor their matzah for Passover.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course George Soros is a part of it, so... And we know George Soros is a big, scary Jew who apparently sold out his people during World War II even though he was 14!
Yeah.
Is a powerful 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Fucking guess.
And the thing is, have you ever, like, actually Googled a QAnon chart before?
God, no.
No, because I don't want Google to be telling me more of that shit.
I value my brain cells.
Yeah, okay. Well, just to let you know, go on crack.com. David Wong actually did an article recently specifically about conspiracy theories and why conspiracy theories like QAnon catch on like they do. And he's got a couple of examples of QAnon charts, and it's literally just word salad.
It's like when stuff they had on like Fox News back when Hillary was about to get elected.
Oh, you mean like when Glenn Beck was on there and he had his chalkboard?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah, that's basically what it is, except it fills up an entire page.
Yeah.
And I mean that, like, vertically.
I think
it fills up an entire page.
Making fun of that on Twitter.
Yeah.
The things that appeared on it.
Because that's the thing about cults is they specifically create a sort of lexicography, a kind of secret language that only other members of the group understand.
Yep.
And then on top of that, they start piling on layers to it. Sort of like how, you know, Scientology, how, you know, they don't come at you at first with like all the shit about Xenu and body thetans and the Galactic Confederation and all that stuff. No, they start out with like, you know, the personality tests and, you know, are you dealing with depression or are you on like an emotional seesaw from day to day? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or, and here's one Pat will know, how Mormon missionaries, they usually only give you out the Book of Mormon as sort of like begin, and then when you're in it, they start piling on the other crazy shit.
Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, yep.
Because the idea is that, you know, you're invested at that point, it would feel kind of silly to back out now. That's kind of how that works. And that's basically what QAnon works, how QAnon works, basically.
So is this image I posted in the chat kind of like what you're talking about?
Which chat? The Facebook chat?
No, the Discord chat.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that we have one of those. Let's see. Oh, the... Hold on. I mean, yep. Like that. That's basically what a QAnon chart looks like.
Or it's like, I gotta get out the super zoom on my browser to figure out what this even says.
Yeah. That's legit what they look like. Alright. Next up... GOP released a couple of doctored videos of Joe Biden. One includes a fake video of Joe Biden sleeping during a TV interview, which he was not asleep. He was awake for. And then
this was a Harry Belafonte interview from 2011.
Yeah.
They just doctored his face over it.
Mm-hmm.
That was done by the White House Deputy Chief of Staff.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Scavino.
Yay, deep fakes.
Yeah. And
here
then
we are.
Probably the one that was the scummiest of all of them. Steve Scalise edited a video of an interview Biden did with Eddie Barkin. And those of you who don't know who Eddie Barkin is, he's a dude who suffers from multiple sclerosis. You know, MS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's basically gotten to the point now where it's robbed him of his voice, so he has to use a speaking spell, basically.
Yeah.
One of those things. Which means that he was talking about, like, getting funding, and Steve Scalise and his team decided to add on the two words for police at the end of that sentence.
When it's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, and Eddie Barkin took notice. He went on social media and said, "Those are not my words. Please take this down." Anybody How said, scummy is you. That?
Anybody said, "No, fuck you, this is what was said." Which he took other parts of the video and audio from that and spliced it into that part.
Yeah. You took advantage of a man with multiple sclerosis and manipulated his words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are not words in the English language that could properly express the depths of my disgust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is the guy that got shot in the ass.
Yeah, Steve Scalise, the guy who got shot in the ass during a
softball game.
Yeah, softball game.
So you would think maybe that would put some common sense into you?
No.
At least some humility.
Which is where the common sense is stored in your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
I don't think there's really anything more we can add to that. That's just scummy evil. And gross.
Yeah.
That's like how long do you think it's going to come out before we see a video of someone from the Trump administration punching a baby and stealing its candy?
I'm pretty sure they already have. We just need the video.
I think it's on the Trump tape.
Because it's like at some point, it's like after you go to the point where you're at to the level where you're manipulating the mechanical voice of a person with a condition that can no longer physically speak in order to create, in order to support a position that they do not support and in fact had nothing to do with that subject to begin with. How much lower can you go from there?
This is all over the weird position he has about defunding the police.
Yeah.
Which is that and he doesn't want to defund the police. He wants to, like, redirect some small part of its funds.
Yeah. And this...
it.
Yeah, this... I gotta tell you, the devil had to hire a contractor specifically to create a new room in hell specifically for this shit. Because even he couldn't think of this crap ahead of time.
It's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, just goddamn.
Yeah, this guy that does interviews with presidential candidates usually has a fun time.
Ugh.
As well as talking about the serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking advantage of that is not a great look.
Yeah.
No, agreed.
Well, moving on from the serious shit, we're going on to the less serious shit, because, God, you cannot get any lower than that. God damn.
It's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah. Mississippi, their flag commission has finally come up with a new flag design for Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be going on to the election ballot this year. It's basically a blue field with a picture of a white magnolia surrounded by stars. And in the bottom of it is the saying, "In God we trust." You know what? Fine. Whatever.
Yeah, it looks nice.
As long as that freaking Confederate flag thing is gone, I don't care.
Yeah, we can redact that.
I will take the compromise. I am willing to take that compromise.
Yep.
And there's the alternate, which is the Great River flag.
Mm-hmm.
It looks nice, like. There's some state flags that are fucking stupid.
Yeah, have you seen the compromise flag? They came up for my state after we got rid of the Confederate emblem on ours.
What did they come up with?
Oh, you want to see it?
Yeah.
Well, it's still kind of the Confederate flag.
No, the one... No, I'm talking about the one we had in the interim.
Oh.
Get ready for this one.
I'm just
one.
Looking at the finished ones.
Yeah, the finished one, I mean, it kind of... It does still kind of... harken back to the Confederacy, but it actually
changed it to be legally unique.
Yeah, they actually made it look more like the actual Confederate flag instead of the bullshit one that was added later.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what the, yeah, that's the compromise flag right there.
We'll just put all the flags on it.
Yeah, just all, can put all of them on there.
You know that, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at like all the state flags, and it's like, I think ours is actually one of the nicest, Ohio's.
Yeah.
It's the only one that's not a rectangle, too. It's called Swallowtail.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it looks real good on the Columbus Blue Jackets logo. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
California's is pretty good because it's got a fucking bear on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck you, we got a bear, which may not actually exist in our state, but
ours is just fucking weird out here in Utah.
Then you got the one of the flag for the state of Virginia, which is a topless woman standing over the corpse of a king with a broken crown.
Okay.
I'm down.
Says, rebellion against traitors is obedience to God. Against tyrants. Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Color was pretty nice. It's just a fucking buffalo.
Mm.
There's a number just like, we couldn't figure it out. State of Oregon, whatever.
Yeah.
Here's the year we were founded.
Yeah.
George Washington.
Yeah. And then you see the one for Louisiana.
Yeah. Got the pelican on it.
Yeah, pelican over a nest. Shit like that. Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. Mm. Do you guys know what the emblem for the Confederacy was? Because they actually had one.
Not the emblem, no.
It was... here, I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll put it in the chat.
Actually, the Colorado one is just a... it's a Red Sea.
Yep.
Let me see.
What was the one I was looking at?
See, it was...
okay.
Confederacy emblem.
Yeah, the Colorado flag actually gets repurposed for a lot of sports branding, too.
Mm. Here it is. This is the official emblem of the Confederacy right here. Or seal, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah.
Here's Tennessee's. It's a Dragon Ball. It's a 3-star ball.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been pretty fond of Tennessee's, to be honest with you.
Here we go. Well, you have to click that, but it's George Washington on horseback, surrounded by a wreath made up of corn, poppies, and cotton.
And this one, like, we have a list of things we need on this. Fit them all in.
Yeah. Stuff his black people did for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Got that?
Yeah.
Sucks.
You know, you keep saying, people keep trying to claim that the Civil War wasn't about slavery, but the Confederates sure as hell tried to put that message forward, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, it was fucking in their articles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, and he's also thrown up the Nazi salute.
Well, no, that's just... that's actually the... that is actually just a redesign... That's basically just a sort of colorized... representation of the statue he has in Virginia.
But it just in hindsight.
Yeah, I know how it looks. Yeah.
This kind of adds to the conversation against you guys, so
yeah.
Good luck with that.
Alright, next up in stories of what the hell, at LAX, a pilot radioed one of the guys at LAX's tower and said, we just passed a guy in a jetpack.
What?
Okay, then.
Yeah, Tower, American 1997, we just passed a guy in a jetpack. American 1997, okay, thank you. Were they off to your left or your right side? Off the left side, maybe 300 yards or so, about our altitude. We just saw the guy pass us by in the jetpack.
Don't you love it?
How only in L.A.
calm like that.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I actually don't think this was actually just a dude in a jetpack. I think this was a drone with, like, a paper mache dude or, like, a mannequin around it. They'll make it look like a dude with a jetpack.
Maybe.
Somebody was trolling. You're saying.
Yeah.
Still illegal because you're not supposed to fly drones anywhere near.
Yeah, you're not.
And at their height as well.
Yeah.
The FBI, I guess, is looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, good job, guy that did this.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be visiting you pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very hard to trace it back to an individual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
we'll see what kind of information I might have passed around.
Yeah. Then next up, David Blaine decided to basically recreate that scene from Up, and he flew over the Arizona desert while holding on to helium balloons.
Why the fuck not, right?
Yeah, 50 helium balloons. Stunt called Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it began on Wednesday morning. Performance took over an hour, or about an hour from liftoff to landing. Was streamed exclusively on YouTube, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Reached about 18,000 feet.
It's almost like the Strange Planet parody of Up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Ended up floating about 24,900 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about 4.7 miles.
Mm. Next up, a man went to a city council meeting in Nebraska because he wants to get the name of Boneless Wings changed.
Yeah, he's
okay. Yeah, you're gonna have to explain this one to me.
Yeah, so he went to his local city council in Lincoln, Nebraska, saying, "Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning, treating things as though they're normal." This guy's name is Andrew Christensen. I'm talking about Boneless Chicken Wings. I propose that we as a city remove the name Boneless Wings from our menus and from our hearts. He argued the meat found in boneless chicken wings does not necessarily come from the wing of chicken. Also argued that boneless chicken wings, quote, are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches, Christensen said. We need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious. He continued calling for the food to be renamed in the Nebraska city. Suggested that the city call the dish, quote, buffalo-style chicken tenders, wet tenders, saucy nugs, or trash. We can take these steps and show the country where we stand and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long. We know it because we feel it in our bones.
God, he's not wrong, but...
Did they drug test him on the way out?
I don't think so, but if you have an idea of what this man looks like, you're probably right. Because they have the video here of the YouTube version of it, and it is something all right. But he also followed up with a tweet saying, "I'm looking for the best wings. Please send me your suggestions. SaucyNugsForPresident@gmail.com.
Well, kudos to him for getting his 5 minutes or 15 minutes in there. But yeah.
that's the hill he wants to die on.
It is a hill.
It sure is.
Because there's been a lot of talk about bone-in or bone-out chicken wings on the internet for the past few years. I think this man has taken the furthest
cares?
Step.
They all sell.
Right.
It's food, and people are very invested in food. Mm-hmm. Especially the food that they consider to be the correct food, I guess. For whatever weird thing that is. Mm. Or it's just, I don't know, eating the thing that you like and moving on with your life.
Yeah.
But this man has been sitting alone in his place for months, and he has to get this out.
Yeah.
I guess
the stir crazy is real.
Personally, I blame that boneless pizza meme. I mean, but that's just me.
As opposed to what, dare I ask?
I don't know. It makes sense to me.
The suggestion of a boneless pizza implies the existence of a bone in pizza.
Yeah, that's
and
the
that's
joke.
Not a world I want to live in.
Hmm.
Okay, I didn't notice this part of the article. After the testimony, at large, Lincoln City Council member Roy Christensen identified the speaker as his son, although he did not immediately explain the catalyst for the testimony.
So somebody's fucking with his dad.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Or maybe he just knew that if he was going to be heard, he needed his father to also hear it.
Yeah.
He needs to, need to live his truth, I guess.
I want to know what the bet was, because...
Oh, there definitely had to be, like, a bet here that had to be...
Just one?
Yes, right. Oh, my God. Oh, frick.
Like, there had to be one for him getting the entire way through the presentation. There probably had to be another one for whether he was... he was cut off... verbally or physically before he could finish, and then maybe another one for whether or not he bounced on the way out.
Oh, God. I'm looking at his account, his Twitter account.
Oh, Lord. Is it bad?
No. It's just he's reacting to brands, reacting to his speech. It's like Grubhub here. Responding to a news tweet of this video. That I'm saying, we respect your passion, Ander, and we stand with you. Hashtag saucy nugs. And they misspelled nugs, but I don't know if the article had the correct spelling of nugs. They had it 2 G's.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a spelling of it. You got 1 G or 2 G. Maybe he needs to come back and spell out his terms.
I hate 2020. I hate it. I hate it so much.
This is better than everything else that's happened in 2020.
That's a low bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, no.
I mean, 2020 has set up that bar.
No. Streets of Rage 4 happened in 2020. Take that back.
I don't need to load up a game to get this kind of entertainment.
Oh, my God.
I'm done looking at this Twitter account.
You gotta stop. You're gonna fall down the rabbit hole, man.
I don't want to find out that he's being used to advertise stuff. I'd imagine that there's a barrier.
Well, if
in
he
there.
Is, it's sure working.
Well, I mean, like, he's using his newfound fame to shill for stuff. Like that, anyway. This was the thing that made him notable for brands, for brand Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Saucy Nugs. I think we have a show title.
Yeah. Oh,
fucking damn it.
I think it's going to be Saucy Nugs for President.
All right.
All right. That's a message people can get behind.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. Prince Harry and, well, the former Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have signed a huge Netflix deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
Multi-year deal at Netflix, make documentaries, feature films, scripted television shows, and children's series, and all the stuff that Netflix likes.
Yep.
Because they can just sign them to a deal and advertise it whenever they eventually come out, like the Obama stuff.
Yep.
That is starting to trickle out there.
Mm-hmm. All right. And after that, we also found out that Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead movie for Netflix is also getting a prequel film and an anime series.
Sure, why not?
It's like, yeah, whatever.
Be another media company that's building an empire off of Zack Snyder's work.
Because
it sure worked well for DC. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Speaking of Netflix, they're offering a number of movies and show episodes for non-subscribers to watch for free.
Yeah. Pretty nice idea for that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, they have a watch free site. It's netflix.com/watch-free to get a peek at the type of entertainment you can expect from us by watching the first episode of some of our most popular shows, which includes, let's see, Stranger Things, Love is Blind, When They See Us, Grace and Frankie, Elite, and Our Planet. And the movies they got on there is Bird Box, the Adam Sandler comedy Murder Mystery, DreamWorks Animation's The Boss Baby Back in Business.
Why?
That's the kids' movie they can watch. And the Oscar-nominated The Two Popes. So, yeah.
Okay, that one's actually not bad. All right.
Neat idea, kind of doing a trial that you don't have to specifically sign up for like a week or whatever.
Yeah.
They say they're going to change them out on occasion, so if you're that frugal, you can just check it out every once in a while.
Yeah. And next up, we got some Marvel news. The Marvel character Silk is getting a live action series, and it's at being worked on by Sony.
Yep. Let's see. Phil Lord and Chris Miller are going to be executive producing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So far, no network or streaming services attached yet, but I guess Amazon's in talks to acquire it.
Mm-hmm.
Along with other potential Marvel series that Sony's working on.
Yeah. So you don't know, Silk, she was a character in Spider-Man Homecoming. She originally showed up in Amazing Spider-Man number 1 in 2014. And yeah, her real name is Sandy Moon, Korean American, classmate of Peter Parker's. She can shoot web from her fingertips. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, another spider person.
Yeah. And finally, Mulan, the live action version, will be on Disney Plus for all people to watch December 4th.
Yep.
And yeah, you'll have to pay $30 to watch it.
Yeah, they said that thing ends on November 2nd, and then a month later you can watch it just as a Plus subscriber, which I'd say is the better option.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of paying $30 for a thing you do not own.
Yeah. Let's just say I've been hearing mixed reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which sounds about right.
Yeah.
Once again, Disney has done another live action remake, and once again, people either love it or hate it.
Yeah, that's movies these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
it's when nobody cares that is the bad thing.
Yeah, it's also, there's a bit of controversy because the star of this particular film, she is a very proud Chinese citizen and supporter of the Chinese government, which means that she supported the actions of the police in Hong Kong. And a
lot of people take umbrage to that. And they should.
And it's kind of odd, though, because Jackie Chan has said a lot of the same shit for decades. Yeah. And
I was about to
most people didn't care.
Yeah. I mean, it's real hard for them and their families to survive if they're not saying these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, it's better to spend $7 than $37 on this thing.
Yeah. All right. I do believe we got a show for you folks. So with that, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question or comment or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just wait a few minutes. We will be eventually. With that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Teresa Sammons, good night, sleep tight. And as we will continue to remind you until the day comes, remember to vote in November.
Fuck you, Craig.
Mother sucks cocks in hell, Craig.